We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Because sleep is for losers. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, well, away we go. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. If you want to hop on board, the number 617-779-7937. A lot to hit on today, including the latest report on Tom Brady. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is the one that has it, that apparently the now Las Vegas Raiders, and by the way, they should just be Vegas Raiders. It's way cooler that way. But nonetheless, the Raiders are interested or willing to give Tom Brady a two-year contract worth $60 million, so $30 million per season. That comes from Larry Fitzgerald Sr. So he has that report on Tom Brady. Plus, it's now life after Mookie Betts for the Red Sox as they get ready. And by the way, the latest, Alex Verdugo basically confirmed the reports that he's likely to miss the beginning of the season, at least opening day. The Sox say they don't think it's long-term with a back issue. Where do you think the Sox go from here after Mookie Betts and David Price got introduced as Dodgers earlier this week? But where I want to start is with this Kevin Garnett situation. So are you for or against Kevin Garnett's jersey getting retired? 617-779-7937. I find this so interesting and so intriguing on so many levels. Not just the debate on whether or not Kevin Garnett's jersey should be retired, but the fact that this caused so much controversy and the fact that everybody has an opinion one way or the other. Nobody right now is saying about the Kevin Garnett jersey retirement, which, oh, by the way, they announced on Thursday night. It's going to happen next year. So they announced that very far in advance. We get a lot of time to get ready to see Kevin Garnett's jersey go up in the rafters, right? But the thing that first interests me about this is you can't just be like, I don't know. No, you got to be for or against it. It's like a passionate subject here locally, whether or not Kevin Garnett's jersey should be retired. Here's the thing. Most other fan bases across the country in the NBA would be happy to put up Kevin Garnett's jersey because they'd say, hey, he's the main reason they won a championship. Most people would be okay with that, and that's it. But here, it is this massive story, and you're on one side or the other as it pertains to Kevin Garnett's jersey eventually being retired. Now, if you want to have a whole argument about whether or not the Celtics retire too many jerseys, they do. But it just feels like, to me, this is ridiculous that people are so upset and so against Kevin Garnett's jerseys going up in the rafters. From my perspective, definitely should be going up there. And not to mention the fact that, okay, now I get this isn't as big of a deal as most people think it is, or most people, I should say, don't think this is that big of a deal. But this does show how much you appreciate your players, right? Because let's not be naive here. The Celtics have had an image problem over the years where a lot of free agents don't exactly want to come here, right? Al Horford's like the most recent big name free agent, if you could even categorize him as that, to come to the Celtics. Gordon Hayward after that, who was a one-time All-Star when he came here. Al's made a bunch of All-Star games, but nonetheless, it wasn't like you were getting one of the premier guys on the market. You were getting a pretty good player in Al Horford. I'm not making this about average Al or anything along those lines. I'm just saying it wasn't like he was this big name free agent that was coming here and he was going to be the piece that puts you over the top and immediately makes you a contender. He wasn't even what Jimmy Butler was to the Miami Heat this year, right? So over the years, the Celtics organization hasn't exactly been able to land big name free agents. Okay, so I think this looks good from an organizational standpoint, that basically the best era of basketball you've had since Larry Bird was playing for the Celtics, that you honor the best player that was on that team. I have no issue with it whatsoever, and quite frankly, I don't understand why so many people are disturbed about this particular scenario. Now, another thing I want to get to with Kevin Garnett is, and I heard Gilroy mention this, and I 100% agree with Gilroy on this, okay? And I guess I'm going to be accused of being a green teamer today, which ordinarily I'm not. I'm usually not on that side of the fence, but I guess today I'm going to be. But here's the thing with Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett, to Gilroy's point that he made earlier, he did completely change the culture here. Okay, so for example, you look at those Celtics teams that were really good for a number of years, and I still contend that they would have won back-to-back championships if Garnett didn't injure his knee in the second season. And let's not forget the fact that that team was actually better in terms of their start to the season than they were the year prior. Okay, and then he gets hurt. We all know what happens after that. Orlando goes to the NBA Finals with Dwight Howard and company. But nonetheless, when you look at that team, what Kevin Garnett came in here and did is he established a defensive identity. So just to put this into the proper context, because you can't use the technical stats in terms of points per 100 possessions going back to 2008 because the league has changed so much. But just do it from compared to other teams. So if you look at it from that criteria, the Celtics in 2008 were 4 points better per 100 possessions than anybody else defensively. That is jaw-dropping. That is staggering numbers. Kevin Garnett is the reason that that defense was established and the reason that that culture was established. Okay, now the other thing I want to get to is one thing that I've been hearing a lot of this week on the station and in other places is Ray Allen is always going to be a hot topic because of the way he left the Celtics. But one of the things I keep hearing is, well, if you put Kevin Garnett's jersey up, then Ray Allen's jersey should go up as well. Or at least that's an argument. For the people that don't think Garnett's jersey's going up, the thing that they'll use is, oh, well, Ray Allen should go up then. Well, let me just remind you of this. I want to remind you of Ray Allen in the postseason in 2008, because people dismiss this with Ray Allen. People forget the fact that Ray Allen actually struggled in the postseason. Because he got it together in the NBA Finals, people look at that and say, oh, yeah, Ray was good in the playoffs. No, he wasn't. Ray Allen is basically one of the main reasons that this Celtics team had to go 7 games against the Hawks, 7 games against the Cavaliers. And look, in the Pistons series, you went 6 games. That was a worthy competitor. That was a worthy rival, if you will. But the rest of these teams should have never been 7-game series. And why that happened is because Ray Allen, the third member of your Big Three, didn't show up. In that postseason, by the way, he averaged just 15 points per game on 42% shooting. KG, by the way, he averaged 20 points a game, the most on the team throughout the postseason run. 10.5 rebounds per game, 3.3 assists, a steal and a block per game. But in that Pistons series, Ray had an 11-point game and a 9-point game. In the Cavs series, he averaged 9 points. He shot 15% from three, and he had a game in which he didn't score. He also had 4 points in Game 7, and he had 9 points in Game 6. Ray sucked until you actually made it to the NBA Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. So for those people that are saying and trying to fight against Kevin Garnett's jersey going up in the rafters, and the biggest part of their argument is, well, hey, if you put Kevin Garnett's up, you got to put Ray's up. No, you don't. And I'm not just saying this because I'm bitter because Ray left. In fact, I actually side with Ray in that particular scenario more so than the other way around. Rondo was being a pain in the neck. I totally understand why Ray left. And you can say, oh, we went to the rival. Well, that was the best option in terms of where he was going to go. Where else was he going to go? The Heat is a team that was competing for championships. I had no issue with Ray Allen wanting to do that. Plus the fact that Doc Rivers was bringing him off the bench the season prior. So I'm not one of these people that was so upset with Ray Allen leaving. I'm not a Ray guy. I'm not a Ray supporter. But all I'm saying is if you look at it from those statistics, Ray was horrible in that postseason run. And he's one of the main reasons that this Celtics team isn't mentioned with some of the greatest teams of all time because their playoff run wasn't dominant. Their regular season was dominant in terms of the points that they beat their opponents by. They were a dominant team that year, but they weren't dominant in the postseason because the third member of their Big Three, Ray Allen, didn't show up. So the reason I mention Ray Allen is just because I've heard some of that over the past couple of days. Well, if you're going to honor the Big Three and you're putting Kevin Garnett up along with Paul Pierce, then Ray Allen deserves to be up as well. No, he doesn't, because he had a poor postseason run in the 2008 season. Now, the other thing I want to mention, and I said I'm going to be accused of being a green teamer today, but in this particular scenario, I'm going to be accused of being like the anti-green teamer. So, and by the way, if you want to weigh in on Kevin Garnett's jersey going up in the rafters, 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. Okay. So, Paul Pierce got the finals MVP, but Kevin Garnett was the best player on the team, okay? And you start to think about it in terms of how much he dominated the postseason from a defensive perspective. It was unbelievable, and during the regular season, he was by far the best player on the Celtics team. But when I look at the difference with Paul Pierce pre-Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce post-Kevin Garnett, Kevin Garnett made Paul Pierce's legacy. I'm sorry to say it, but he did. Paul Pierce was a really good player, okay, before Kevin Garnett got here. But Kevin Garnett made Paul Pierce's career. And the reason I point that out is this. If you look at Paul Pierce pre-Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce was named to an All-NBA team twice before Kevin Garnett got here. Twice. That's it. Twice. 2 times. Okay. In his entire career, he was named to an All-NBA team 4 times, meaning that Paul Pierce was considered to be one of the top 6 forwards in the NBA only 4 times in his career. Okay. If you look at Kevin Garnett, he's a 9-time All-NBA performer. Okay. Made the first team 4 times. And oh, by the way, he made the All-NBA team, meaning he was one of the best 6 forwards in the NBA, 8 times before he got to Boston. Okay, so Kevin Garnett was on this path where he was going to be considered one of the best players of his era either way. Paul Pierce was nowhere close to that. In fact, if you look at Paul Pierce's career pre-Kevin Garnett, you know how we would be having discussions with Paul Pierce if he never matched up with Kevin Garnett or never paired up with Kevin Garnett, I should say? We would be considering Paul Pierce. We would mention him with the Jermaine O'Neals and the Gilbert Arenases of the world. Now, I get Gilbert Arenas had his issues off the court. I'm not saying that with Paul Pierce. I'm just saying in terms of the career. You look at Gilbert Arenas, three-time All-NBA performer. You look at Jermaine O'Neal, three-time All-NBA performer as well. So Paul Pierce was a really, really good player without Kevin Garnett. He wasn't in the light that he is now without Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett came here, and Kevin Garnett made Paul Pierce who he was in terms of his all-time legacy. Because if Paul Pierce never gets a championship here, we're not talking about Paul Pierce the way we do. We're talking about Paul Pierce as a really good player for the Celtics, and he probably went on to a different team at the end of his career because they couldn't make the deep postseason run that ultimately he wanted to make. It's Kevin Garnett who actually made Paul Pierce into the player he was in terms of the all-time legacy. Think about this. We never mentioned Paul Pierce as a great defender before Kevin Garnett got to the Celtics. Once Kevin Garnett got to the Celtics, we talked about defense all the time with this team because Kevin Garnett was the best damn defensive player in the NBA. So Kevin Garnett is the reason that this defense took off, and he's the reason that Paul Pierce was given credit from a defensive standpoint. And I get you can give me this crap about the finals MVP. Oh, he's the finals MVP. Kevin Garnett wasn't. Well, okay, I'll also mention this. You realize that in 2015, when the Golden State Warriors won the NBA championship, Andre Iguodala was the finals MVP. Okay, so it's not always the best player. For example, in 07, when the San Antonio Spurs won the NBA championship, they swept the Cleveland Cavaliers. The MVP of that series was Tony Parker, not Tim Duncan. And at that particular point in 07, Tim Duncan was still the best player on the San Antonio Spurs. Now, most times the best player on the team wins the finals MVP, but sometimes it doesn't go that way. Just like in 2015 when Steph Curry averaged like 25, 8-5 in the finals, and they gave Andre Iguodala the award because he played decent defense on LeBron James. Like, that's the reason he won the finals MVP. So I get it. Paul Pierce had a great series against the Lakers, as did Ray Allen, but Kevin Garnett was the main reason that that team won a championship. And you go through some of the other names, like DJ has his jersey retired. He was, what, the fourth or the fifth best player on those teams in the 1980s? Don Nelson has his jersey retired. So why shouldn't we reward the best player for the Celtics team that won a championship? Because if there's no Kevin Garnett, there's no championship, and we're looking at Paul Pierce completely different from the way that we look at Paul Pierce now if he never had the opportunity to play with a guy like Kevin Garnett. And think about what Kevin Garnett did for this team in terms of where this organization was headed. So if you think back to 2007, you had essentially what was considered at that time to be a two-player draft. So you had Greg Oden and you had Kevin Durant. And Danny Ainge has always said that he would have taken Kevin Durant number one. I don't know if I completely buy that, but nonetheless, he's on record as of saying that. Apparently, he was friendly with Kevin Durant's mother, and he had talked to her multiple times, and everybody says Danny Ainge would have taken Kevin Durant with the first pick or the second pick, depending if, well, I guess technically if they got the second pick and Portland still got the first pick, they would have taken Durant with the second pick. But nonetheless, you fell out of that spot in the draft lottery, right? You got screwed over by the ping pong balls, and the Celtics dropped down to the fifth overall selection. So basically, you were at a spot where Paul Pierce was, I don't want to say an aging superstar. He was a superstar right around his prime and maybe his post-prime a little bit. And he was really the only guy that you were building around on this team. You had a young player in Al Jefferson who you really liked as well. But for the most part, this was not a good Celtics team. Just think about the fact that you were hoping for the number one pick that previous season. So if you look at it from that criteria, you're thinking to yourself, okay, if the Celtics don't get the number one or the number two overall pick, and Greg Oden ended up, I don't want to call him a bust because he got hurt. I don't call guys that get injured busts. I just don't categorize it that way. Like Kwame Brown's a bust, right? Ryan Leaf's a bust. I don't consider Greg Oden to be a bust. I believe the player would have been good if he didn't get hurt. But nonetheless, that's a complete digression. Getting back to the original point, the Celtics, they were all in getting that high-end superstar like Kevin Durant, and they weren't able to get him because the ping pong balls didn't go their way. So this organization was really in a tough spot. And you think about what Kevin Garnett meant to everybody else. Now, I understand that originally you made the Ray Allen trade. So you bring in Ray Allen, and at that point, remember when it happened, we're all thinking to ourselves, there's got to be more to this, right? Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, like, I get it. They do a lot of similar things. Like Ray's a better shooter. Paul Pierce is a better driver and slasher, et cetera, doing all that different type of stuff. But those two guys together, that doesn't make you a championship caliber team. What's the point of that, right? But then eventually you get Kevin Garnett, and we can criticize Kevin McHale maybe for a little bit of insider trading, where Danny Ainge gets to make a deal with his former teammate, Kevin McHale, who at that time, remember, was running the Minnesota Timberwolves. But think about that. If you don't trade for Kevin Garnett that offseason, where is this Celtics team at in terms of how are they rebuilding in a spot where you had the fifth overall selection in the draft? And what does it look like now for the Celtics? Because Kevin Garnett basically, in a way, saved Danny Ainge. And I'm not saying that Danny Ainge would have been fired right then and there. I'm just saying by Danny Ainge pulling off the trades for Ray Allen and for Kevin Garnett, it helped Danny Ainge keep his job as long as he has. And Danny Ainge winning a championship, that gives you this new credibility around the league because everybody looks at you as a championship level executive. And Kevin Garnett is the reason you won that championship. So the other element to this is when you look at Kevin Garnett, how much he meant to this particular organization. I get it. He was only here 6 years. One of the years he was hurt. But the thing that sticks out to me is it seems like we get caught up in the history of the Celtics too much, right? You talk about championships in the 60s and the 70s and then the 80s with Larry Bird. But you have to remember this. In the 90s, and I understand there was situations that were unfortunate, the passing of Len Bias and Reggie Lewis as well. But in terms of the basketball product, it was really bad for the Celtics during the 90s, okay? I grew up in the 90s watching those teams. They weren't good. They had Sherman Douglas on the team, okay? And then you go into the 2000s, and I get it. You had a little bit of a nice storyline with Paul Pierce and with Antoine Walker. They made it to the conference finals 1 year, right? But nobody ever believed. Now, maybe if you were the biggest green teamer out there, maybe Gilroy believed this. And maybe he did because he's a fan, and I get that. But for the most part, nobody was believing that those Celtics teams actually had a legitimate chance to win an NBA championship. So you had some nice teams with Pierce and Walker in the early 2000s, but you never had a championship caliber team. Okay, so you went from the 90s where you had essentially nothing, and then you had the 2000s where you had a couple of okay teams, and then Garnett comes around and you win a championship. So you're talking about 22 years in between championships, and Kevin Garnett's the main reason that you're actually winning that championship. So because the Celtics won all these championships in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, we get caught up in the fact that, oh, the Celtics were so good. They were this dominant franchise for so long. Yeah, but that's not the most recent reality of this team. So this has been the most, or I should say, the Garnett Celtics were the best Celtics team that we have seen since the Larry Bird Celtics. So why wouldn't we be honoring that team with giving Kevin Garnett his night, honoring Kevin Garnett, and putting his jersey up in the rafters? He led the best Celtics team to a championship since Larry Bird Celtics. I believe that that guy deserves to be honored. And quite frankly, as I mentioned earlier, Paul Pierce, we're not talking about him in the same vein. If it isn't for Kevin Garnett coming to the Celtics and being the best player on this particular team, you just wish it would happen of earlier when Kevin Garnett was still in his physical prime, if you will. Unfortunately, he came here later in his career. And it's something, and I remember originally he didn't want to come here, but it's something that Kevin Garnett has referenced multiple times. He wishes that he had left Minnesota earlier where he had a better chance to win championships so he could have played for a different organization and been going deep into the playoffs on multiple occasions. But because he waited so long, he gets here and then his body betrays him basically his second year in the 2009 season where, again, I mentioned that team was actually better than the team that won in 07 and 08 because they had that camaraderie already. They were much more familiar with each other. Think about how amazing that is. Even the Heatles with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, they put together this super team where you have, at that time, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are two of the top five players in the NBA. And they couldn't win a championship in their first year. Now you can say, okay, they repeated after that. They won two, but their first year, they couldn't do it and win it together. The Celtics were able to do it in their first year to be able to put that team together and win a championship in year one. That's pretty damn impressive. And the main reason that happened was because of Kevin Garnett. So the reason I say that Kevin Garnett's jersey has to go up there, A, I agree with Gilroy. It was a complete culture change. It was the best defense in the NBA. Number two, if we're going to put Paul Pierce's jersey up there, and I'm not saying that Paul Pierce doesn't deserve to have a retired jersey, but what is Paul Pierce's career without Kevin Garnett? It's, oh yeah, he scored a lot of points and he played on a lot of bad Celtics teams. Kevin Garnett gave Paul Pierce that ability to be an all-time great and for Celtics fans to love Paul Pierce going forward. Kevin Garnett gave Paul Pierce that ability because Don't tell me that you would be saying, oh, Paul Pierce is a Celtics legend if the Celtics never got Kevin Garnett. And at the end of his career, Paul Pierce went to, say, the Lakers or the Bulls, whoever was a contender at that time, the Spurs, whoever it was, he went to a different team and he went on deep playoff runs with those teams. Nobody would be considering Paul Pierce a Celtics legend. So I think for those reasons and the fact, think about what it meant for the organization where Danny Ainge becomes, oh, a genius GM because the Kevin Garnett trade. Everybody puts Danny Ainge in this highlight because of Kevin Garnett or views Danny Ainge in this highlight because of Kevin Garnett. So for all those reasons, that's why I have no issue with Kevin Garnett's jersey going up in the rafters. And quite frankly, it's almost disturbing to me how many people in this town are upset with the fact that the best player on a championship team is getting his jersey retired. We're not talking about putting Rondo's jersey in the rafters. We're not talking about putting Ray Allen's jersey up in the rafters or Kendrick Perkins' jersey up in the rafters or Eddie House's jersey up in the rafters. We're talking about the best player on a championship team. And you could make the argument that he was the best player in the NBA that year. He meant the most to his team more than anybody else. And I know LeBron was great that year and Kobe was great that year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But think about what Kevin Garnett meant to this team. The Celtics were about to go into being a laughingstock in the NBA because they missed out on the ping pong balls. This team had no direction if Kevin Garnett didn't come here because they didn't have the ability to draft that unbelievable superstar that was coming out of the collegiate ranks. And it wasn't exactly, as we know, like this team was getting free agent after free agent after free agent. So Kevin Garnett was able to come in here and he basically saved the organization. And now basically they haven't looked back since then. And think about too, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, they actually helped the Celtics at the end of their careers by getting traded. And by the way, remember, Kevin Garnett had to waive a no-trade clause, and I get it. They wanted to play for a contender, and it turned out that the Nets weren't exactly a contender. In fact, that team was a complete joke. But nonetheless, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce actually leaving the Celtics and accepting that trade to the Brooklyn Nets, that actually helped the Celtics long-term. Because think about what they've gotten from that. They got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum because Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett accepted those trades to the Brooklyn Nets. And I get it, at that time, the Celtics were going to rebuild mode, and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett wanted to play for contenders. But Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce are the gifts that keep on giving to the Celtics because Jason Tatum just had an all-star caliber season, and clearly Jaylen Brown has taken a significant step forward. So all this goes back to the original Kevin Garnett trade, which enabled Danny Ainge to do all these things over the past couple of years. And I get the Celtics haven't won a championship since 2008, but they've been a relevant team. They made it to a bunch of conference finals, and this Celtics team this year in particular has another really good opportunity to make it to a conference finals again because it all goes back to that original KG trade and the Brooklyn trade years later because, of course, they were able to get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown after that, and Danny Ainge gets credit for drafting Jaylen Brown, which he was criticized for, and for Jason Tatum. He was criticized for that as well. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on the Kevin Garnett situation, certainly welcome to do so. Should his jersey be retired? 617-779-7937. Plus, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. has a new report on Tom Brady. He's saying the Raiders are willing to offer him 2 years and $60 million. I'll tell you why in a little bit, why that seems like a dumb move for Tom. Brian Barrett with you on WEI. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Boston sports never rests. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Talking a lot about Jason's potential all year. Is that the best you've ever seen him play?
Thus far, yeah. He was incredible. He made every right play. He made every big shot. He was Yeah, man, he was the best player on the course tonight.
What is it like watching him make this leap?
It's fun. I'm glad I'm able to be a part of it. It's special. He's been playing really well. But not only has he been scoring, he's just been making the right play. I think that's what's most important.
All right, that was Kemba Walker after the game the other night. Jason Tatum outplayed Kawhi Leonard at the Garden the other night. It was awesome. You saw at the end of the fourth quarter, he stoned Kawhi Leonard twice from a defensive perspective, where Kawhi had to shoot that awful right-handed runner at one point. He was scoring on him on the other end. By the way, Kawhi Leonard in that game was just 3 of 11 when Jason Tatum was covering him. So that's on the table. What do you make of the emergence of Jason Tatum over the past? Really, this month he's been outstanding, but it's really going back to last month as well. Really, ever since he was named an All-Star, it's like he's taken this step forward. So that's on the table. If you want to weigh in on the Brady situation, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. has mentioned on Twitter that Brady has been where the Raiders are willing to offer Brady 2 years and $60 million. You can weigh in that situation as well. And the Kevin Garnett retirement thing. Do you have an issue with his jersey going up in the rafters? Quite frankly, I don't understand why so many people are debating this topic, why it's a hot button issue, why people think that Kevin Garnett doesn't deserve to have his jersey retired. He was the best player on the first championship team that this team has had since Larry Bird's team in 1986. It had been a long time. He was by far the best player on the team. It's not even remotely debatable. Paul Pierce wasn't close to what Kevin Garnett was as an NBA player. I get it. Paul Pierce was here for a long period of time, but Kevin Garnett made Paul Pierce into a champion, not the other way around. I get they both needed each other, but Kevin Garnett was the main piece to that championship team that the Celtics had back in 08. So I don't have an issue with it whatsoever. And I'm, in fact, happy that Kevin Garnett's getting his jersey retired. But I want to get back to Jason Tatum for a second here. So one of the things that Jason Tatum alluded to in the offseason was he mentioned that he needs to get to the free throw line more, and that he needs to shoot more three-pointers and not take as many long twos. And I was all on board with that. But at the beginning of the season, I wanted to actually see it in action. And through the first really month or so of the season, you didn't see a ton of improvement in those areas, right? So he wasn't finishing at the rim at a high level, and he wasn't getting to the free throw line. But really, over the last month and a half, he's taken that step forward, where if you look at it in February, he's averaging 28.3 points per game. He's shooting 48% from the field, 46% from three-point territory. He's also averaging 7.3 rebounds per game. Okay, now, although he's missed 4 free throws in the past 2 games each, which is shocking to me, he's getting to the line 7 times per game, which is really, really important. That's a number, by the way, that would rank in the top 10 in the league. And now he's finishing better in the restricted area. He's finishing much better at the rim, 62%. So those are the things that I looked at with Jason Tatum, and I said if he takes the step forward in these areas, shoots the three better, gets to the free throw line better, and finishes at the rim better, if he does all those things, well, then what we were saying about Jason Tatum in his rookie season could actually be true. He could actually develop into a superstar in this league. And also the other thing with Jason Tatum is this. The handle. I questioned the handle a couple of years ago with Tatum, and his handle is much better. We saw him putting guys on skates the other night. So all of those areas of his game have improved. And the thing that I loved about Brad Stevens the other night is Brad Stevens, for so many years, it's been this egalitarian style. Now, I understand when Isaiah was here, he was the guy, and same thing with Kyrie Irving. But after Kyrie Irving last year, it was like, okay, let's figure out who we can establish as the second best player on the team. They never really tried to do that. He just wanted it to happen organically. And with Jason Tatum the other night, what we saw at the end of the game is hopefully a preview of what we'll see in the playoffs. They were playing through Tatum. So they actually took a page out of Ty Lue's book, I should say. They were running this play at the end of the game, and they kept running it because the Clippers couldn't stop it. I love that. If they can't stop it, keep running it. That's like a Belichick-McDaniels type thing, where essentially what they do is Jason Tatum would set a screen on Kemba Walker's man, not even a full screen. He would just go like he was setting a screen, then slip. He'd get the ball, and he'd get a smaller defender on him like Landry Shamet, and he'd roast Landry Shamet. So I love the fact that Brad Stevens is now realizing, oh, Jason Tatum is the best scorer on the team. He's the best option late in games. Let's get him the ball. And that's something that last year outside of Kyrie, you never really established any sort of pecking order. And now through the first half of the season, a little more than the first half of the season because it's way past the halfway point. But nonetheless, the Celtics have now done something that they needed to do last year. Last year was established as second best player. This year it's established the pecking order in terms of at the end of the games, who are you going to? And over the past couple of weeks, slowly but surely, we're seeing Brad Stevens lean it towards Jason Tatum. And I absolutely love that because a diminutive guy like Kemba Walker, he can't be the main hub of the offense when you get into postseason series. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Fred, who's in New Hampshire. What's up, Fred?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things. First off, on Kevin Garnett, yeah, needs to go up in the rafters. I think you could make an argument possibly for the other men on that team, but
the other
certainly
what?
Kevin Garnett. It'd be more of a reach, but I don't think undeserved if Ray Allen.
See, here's my problem with Ray, Fred, is he was so bad in that postseason until the Lakers series. Like, I believe Ray actually hurt this team in terms of in the first couple of rounds, they played seven games against the Hawks, seven games against the Cavaliers. And if you look at Ray's numbers through those series, he was awful until the NBA Finals against the Lakers. He shot the ball so poorly, 15% one of those series from three-point territory. I just feel like Ray was so underwhelming in the postseason.
You know, that was the sports radio where you're not supposed to say this, but I agree. I'd forgotten about that. I remember, too, there was a steal that Bosch made this dramatic shot, and the Heat won. I think they went in for the championship.
He hit the shot against – when he was on the Heat, he hit the shot against the Spurs when they were down three. Chris Bosch got the rebound. They toss it out to Ray Allen. He hit the three. He forced the game seven, then the Heat won in seven games.
Awesome. Hey, I just wanted to run this by you. I've been thinking a lot about it, so hear me out. It won't take long. But I listen to both stations, as a lot of people do. Okay, and what worries me is not hearing more Celtics coverage like we have here tonight with you. I'm grateful for that. It just drives me nuts that the other team who hosts the Celtics puts them out on another station in favor of the Bruins. They talk about Red Sox, the Pats, Bruins, but really just a desert as far as talking about the Celtics. I don't know why.
Well, so Fred, all I can tell
you. I got my suspicions, but I think it's kind of a white culture thing. But what I'm getting to, is there any chance WEEI could pick up the Celtics?
Yeah, Fred, those questions are way above my head. I appreciate the phone call, though. And if you want to grab his line, it's open at 617-779-7937. If you're looking for Celtics talk, though, you came to the right place today because Gilroy was on before me for 4 hours, and then you got me here. I'm a big Celtics guy as well, big NBA guy as well. So if you're looking for Celtics talk, Gilroy's your guy, man. He's going to be doing a lot of it, and I like to talk a lot of Celtics as well. And by the way, OMF talks a lot of Celtics as well with Ordway and Maloney and Fourier. They talk a lot of Celtics as well. So if you're looking for more Celtics talk, keep it here on 93.7. That's the advice that I could give you in that particular scenario. And by the way, he mentions the point about Kevin Garnett, and I completely agree. I'm on board. I've made it abundantly clear. I believe that he deserves to have his jersey retired. My whole thing is I don't understand the anger. Why are people mad that Kevin Garnett's jersey's going up there? It's not like there's a lot of other guys that because Kevin Garnett's jersey's going up, it's not like this is a domino effect where all of a sudden you're going to start retiring more players' jerseys because Kevin Garnett is going up in the rafters, if you will, right? So this is the requirement. Okay, Kevin Garnett was here for a short period of time. If somebody else is here for a short period of time for 6 years and that player ends up being the best player on a team that wins the NBA Finals, I'm all in and putting that guy's jersey up in the rafters. I have no issue with it whatsoever. So that's the whole thing to me. Well, he was only here for 6 years. He only won one championship. Okay, well, you're measuring him up against what happened in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s when the Celtics were the premier franchise in the 80s. I guess it was technically the Lakers, but the Celtics and the Lakers going back and forth. You're matching it up with when they were the premier franchise in the sport, and they haven't been that for a number of years. Remember, they haven't won a championship until 08 since 86, so it had been a long time since they had actually reached that pinnacle, and the main reason, the number one reason that that happened was because of Kevin Garnett. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Al in Rhode Island. What's up, Al?
Hey, how's it going? I agree that KG should be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But I think that you're discrediting Pierce a little bit. I think Paul Pierce had a huge effect on Kevin Garnett's legacy, as well as Garnett having an effect on Pierce's. Obviously, he was the finals MVP. He was their go-to guy always throughout the season and playoffs at many, many clutch moments. And he did a lot before KG came to town. He was on a lot of bad teams. I mean, he took a team with Antoine Walker.
To the conference finals. I get it, Al. He went to the conference finals. They had no chance at winning that. I'm just telling you this. How many guys do you think Kevin Garnett could have paired up with and won a championship with in terms of guys that play the small forward or shooting guard position? I believe there's a ton of them. I don't think you could put that the other way.
I don't think so. I'd have to look at the list of the players that...
You don't think if Garnett teamed up with, like, Gilbert Arenas, he couldn't have won a championship?
No. Come on. You can't come on. Gilbert Arenas?
He averaged more points per game ever than Paul Pierce did in a season. A flash in a pan. The guy was a three-time All-NBA performer. Paul Pierce is a four-time All-NBA performer. And by the way, Gilbert Arenas did it as the best player on the team every year, not like Paul Pierce when he got Garnett for 2 years and won the award. Got All-NBA.
He had a nice hot stretch, I'll give you that, but he's much better. Pierce is a much better player. I also wanted to say...
What if he teamed up with T-Mac? Would he win a championship, Garnett?
Possibly. I would say T-Mac is on that Paul Pierce level.
And right. So Pierce, you'd have to look at, like, Tim Duncan. There's not a lot of guys that did what Kevin Garnett did. The only guy that was on Garnett's level at that time in 07-08 was Tim Duncan in terms of power forward, defensive dominant player. The only other player at that particular point in time that was on his level was Tim Duncan.
Yeah, no, Garnett was great. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like I had to defend Paulie P a little bit because we're kind of acting like he just rode Garnett's coattails.
No, but what I'm saying is if Garnett never comes to the Celtics, think about this. If he never comes to the Celtics, we're talking about him, if Garnett never comes to the Celtics, we're talking about Paul Pierce as a really good Celtic, but he'd have a similar career to the career that Gilbert Arenas or Jermaine O'Neal would have had. Garnett, we would have been mentioning him with Karl Malone and Charles.
Jermaine O'Neal, come on.
He's a three-time All-NBA performer. He made it to a conference finals.
Since we're talking about numbers being retired,
yeah.
Why was Reggie Lewis's number retired? And he was my favorite player for a brief time as a child, as a kid. Why was his number retired? I've never understood that.
I guess to honor him.
I'll let you go.
Yeah, Al, I appreciate the call. I guess to honor him, they did that with Reggie Lewis after he passed away. And look, there's a lot of numbers up there. If you want to have the argument whether or not they have too many numbers up there that are retired, okay, we can have that argument. That's fair. But if you're going to have all these other guys that are up there, the Don Nelsons, Dennis Johnson, I believe that if you're going to do that, Kevin Garnett deserves to be up there. My point, getting back to what I was saying about Jermaine O'Neal and Gilbert Arenas, Paul Pierce is a better player than Jermaine O'Neal. Gilbert Arenas, that's a debate. I mean, Gilbert Arenas was a really good player for a number of years. I'm just saying that Paul Pierce would have been in that realm where you're saying, okay, he was a really good player for a number of years, but we would not be talking about Paul Pierce as one of the great players in NBA history to not win an NBA championship. With Kevin Garnett, that's the discussion that we would have had. If Kevin Garnett never ended up winning a championship, we would have mentioned him with Karl Malone and Charles Barkley as he's in that group of players as the best players not to win a championship. He would have been a legend in the NBA either way. Even if he didn't win a championship, we would have held Kevin Garnett in such high regard. The same thing cannot be said for Paul Pierce. It can't. That's just the reality of the situation. Paul Pierce's career was not on the same path that Kevin Garnett's was. He hadn't established what Kevin Garnett did. Remember, Kevin Garnett was the MVP of the NBA. Paul Pierce was never close to being the MVP of the NBA. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on the Kevin Garnett situation, certainly can. In terms of, do you think his jersey should have been retired or not? What do you make of Jason Tatum's emergence over the past couple of weeks? Is he now the face of the Celtics organization? And I also want to get into this Tom Brady situation. As Larry Fitzgerald Sr. reported, the Raiders are willing to give Tom Brady 2 years and $60 million. I'll tell you why that would be a dumb place for Brady to take his talents. We'll get into all that in just a little bit. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. If you want to hop on board and join us, the number to do so is 617-779-7937. One other takeaway real briefly, and I'll get back to the Kevin Garnett conversation in a second here, but one of the other things that jumped out to me in that game the other night, Marcus Morris, everybody was giving the Clippers all this credit for getting Marcus Morris, and I get that on principle. You have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and now Marcus Morris, who you can put on LeBron for however long LeBron plays in a postseason game, like 44 minutes, right? You can put those guys. So I get it on principle and the fact that Marcus Morris is shooting north of 40% from three-point territory. I get the move on paper, but I'm telling you, Marcus Morris, we remember it last year. This guy's a black hole. He thinks he should be taking every big shot. I'm telling you, he is going to cost the Clippers games in the postseason because he's going to think that he should take the shot over Kawhi or Paul George. I'm telling you, that is going to happen. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Justin in Rhode Island. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. So, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. So I just wanted to say, anyone who thinks that KG didn't have a much bigger impact than Paul Pierce is lying to themselves because, first of all, I want to say they both should be retired for the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Red used to let guys in because he liked them, who were six players and stuff, you know?
Right.
So, anyways, KG got derailed by the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe in his prime, and then Tim Duncan. Like, that on the Timberwolves, he was by himself, but he was battling, if you remember those games. It was incredible to watch him.
Justin, he had Stephon Marbury and, like, Latrell Sprewell, and you got the Spurs coming out here with Tim Duncan and Manu and Tony Parker, and you got Shaq and Kobe on the Lakers. And even the Kings, they had Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and Vlade Divac. Kevin Garnett's going in there basically by himself, and he went to the conference finals 1 year, and he won the MVP 1 year. It was nowhere close to what Pierce was doing in the Eastern Conference. Kevin Garnett was the reason the Timberwolves were actually relevant. That's the only reason they were relevant.
Exactly. And honestly, I just remember those games, and he would be battling. It was just him. They'd throw the ball to him every time. And then he would get the big defensive rebound, the big block. Like, you got to remember, it was incredible. Like, the guy was dominant. And when he came here, he changed that Celtics team to a defensive team. Anyways, that's what people forget. Like, Paul Pierce, decent defender. You know, good on the outside, whatever. But still, he wasn't like Kobe. KG was the KG of his time. You know what I mean?
Well, and Justin, to your point about Pierce, remember, nobody thought about Pierce as like a good defender until KG got here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Justin. If you want to grab his line, you can at 617-779-7937. This is not supposed to be an indictment on Paul Pierce. That's not what I'm trying to do. All I'm trying to do is make it abundantly clear that the reason that Paul Pierce's jersey is up there, I get it. Most of it goes to him. But Kevin Garnett is the guy that pushed Paul Pierce across the finish line and got him that NBA championship. Kevin Garnett coming here is the reason that Paul Pierce won a championship. And look, Paul Pierce was obviously great. He had that unbelievable game against LeBron James. Remember, they were going head-to-head in that game 7. It was fantastic. All I'm saying is Kevin Garnett was the best player on a championship-level team, and he has really started a culture with the Celtics that still goes on today. And he's really the main reason, the number one reason. Don't give me Doc. Don't give me Ray Allen. Don't give me Paul Pierce. He's the number one reason. Don't even give me Danny Ainge, even though he made the trade. He's the number one reason that the Celtics had their first banner since Larry Bird in 1986. The main reason was Kevin Garnett. So the fact that fans and media people in general are actually upset with the fact that Kevin Garnett's jersey is going up in the rafters, I just, quite frankly, I don't understand it whatsoever. Okay, I also wanted to get back to this current version of the Celtics because I love the way that they went into the All-Star break in terms of, if you look at what this team did, they go to Houston, they lay a complete egg against Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and the Houston Rockets. So then they have a nationally televised game on Thursday night against the Clippers. They came out firing, and they went in double overtime without Jaylen Brown, by the way. And you can say, well, the Clippers had an injury to Paul George. But again, this Clippers team should have been as motivated as the Celtics, considering this Clippers team was coming off a loss to the Philadelphia 76ers earlier in the week as well. So they were just as motivated for a win before the All-Star break as the Celtics were, and the Celtics completely outplayed them on their home court. That game should have never gone into overtime. But one thing that concerns me about where the Celtics team is at right now, and I made the point last week when I was here, I would have much rather seen the Celtics go after some innings eaters, meaning go after the trade that the Sixers made for Glenn Robinson and Alec Burks. I'm not saying those guys are great players, but at least it's something you can have off the bench where it's like, give these guys a rest every once in a while, because so much of the scoring load is on these Celtics starters, where the Celtics right now are 28th in bench scoring. That's a debacle. And not that these guys coming off the bench, Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson, are going to be great in the postseason. I'm not depending on that, but at least during the regular season, they give you a little bit of a break for the starters. And the reason I say that is because these starters have all been hurt. Now, Jason Tatum, not as much as the other guys, but Jaylen Brown, you had Kemba Walker dealing with issues, especially that knee. Gordon Hayward's had his issues. And, of course, Robert Williams, who is going to get back after the All-Star break, he's had issues all season long. It's like we've barely seen the guy play this year. But the reason I bring this up in terms of the lack of depth is one thing that concerns me is how the Celtics are playing these guys. Like, Jaylen Brown had two ankle sprains, right? And he said earlier in the week that he wasn't sure which leg to limp on, and yet he's playing on Tuesday night before the All-Star break. And then he turns an ankle. What do you expect's going to happen? They've done the same thing with Kemba Walker for the majority of the season, where Kemba, we know, has had three procedures on that left knee. And Kemba Walker missed time earlier this season. Remember, missed time earlier this season with a sore left knee, which he had surgery on a couple of years ago for a torn meniscus. Two procedures after that. So then after he comes back from that knee injury, Brad's playing him 38 minutes, 38 minutes, and 36 minutes in three consecutive games. And what do you know, a couple of days later, he ends up getting injured again, or not injured, his knee is sore again, and it forces him to miss time. That's what concerns me about the Celtics in the second half of the season. And if I'm, or even less than just the second half of the season, because we're past the halfway point. But if I'm Brad Stevens, I have to start to use load management when it comes to Kemba and when it comes to Gordon Hayward. Like, for example, they have a back-to-back against the Heat and the Magic in the second half of the season. If I was Brad Stevens, I would not be playing Kemba Walker in the second game against the Orlando Magic. When you play the Knicks again, you shouldn't play Kemba Walker, right? In these games where you can have him sit out and still win, that's what I'd be doing right now with Kemba Walker. It just doesn't make sense to overextend the guy, because when you need Kemba, is going to be in the postseason, right? We saw Isaiah Thomas break down. I get that's a different scenario. But these small guards, they tend to age pretty quickly, and I want him fresh for the postseason. Same thing with Gordon Hayward in terms of the foot injury. If he needs a day off, give him a day off. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Mike in Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys. The biggest problem with raising Garnett's jersey is players don't stay with teams anymore. I mean, I feel it should be raised because it's not like the 80s where, you know, play went cradle to grave with a team. Now it's all about going to another team and winning a championship.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Mike. Sorry, you got a horrible phone line. Good point, though. And that is a really interesting way to look at it, because if you think about it, think about LeBron. Now, obviously, he's going to go up. His jersey is going to be retired in Cleveland. But he goes to Cleveland, and then he goes to Miami. Then he goes back to Cleveland. Now he's a member of the Lakers. Look at Kevin Durant. Spends a bunch of seasons in Oklahoma City. Goes to Golden State. Now he's in Brooklyn. Even Kyrie, Cleveland, Celtics, Brooklyn. This is the new NBA. We don't have guys like the last guy to do it was really Kobe Bryant, right? I mean, Dirk Nowitzki last year retired, Tim Duncan. But for the most part now, the game has completely changed in this player empowerment era, if you will, where guys are moving all over the place, right? So you're not going to have it be commonplace that a guy stays with an organization for like 15 years. That's just not going to be the case anymore. Let's get to Kelly in Amherst. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, what's going on, dude? So, yeah, I want to say I'm completely in favor of KG getting his number hung up. Yep. I have a kind of a skewed opinion on this because, for me, it's more of the talent of a player than how long he was, you know, with your franchise. Obviously, if a guy's with you for only a year or two, you know, that's not enough, even three, right? I'm not going to put a number on it. But, you know, it's been said over and over, all the things that KG did for us. But just in terms of having a stud player like that come to your franchise, the long-term ramifications of, you know, maybe being able to get other studs to come in the future. And I haven't heard this mentioned, but he was the guy, you know, him and Paul Pierce with that trade that brought in the talent that's running this team right now.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah, I mentioned
what he
that
did
earlier.
For us then. Yeah, and his, oh, sorry about that. And then, you know, his you know, legend going forward. I mean, I'm definitely in favor of him being up there.
Kelly, my whole thing about this, and I just don't understand why fans and media people are upset that Kevin Garnett's jersey is getting retired. I don't understand why this is a problem. Shouldn't people want to celebrate Kevin Garnett's jersey? That's what just perplexes me about the whole thing. Why are people mad?
That's a good question. I think at the bottom of it is they're not really huge Celtics fans, because like the main person I heard yelling about it was Christian Fourier, who's from like LA. You know what I mean? And his argument kept going to be, oh, they should do it like the Lakers do it. They have, you know, so I think a lot of people could be kind of secretly not even that huge of Celtics fans. Maybe they're the number 14 in the area. They think the Celtics should be more like, I don't know, the Bruins. I don't know. But being a number one, you know, Celtics are my number one team. I've been to many of those games. You know, I went to the finals. Kevin G, that's part of what made me such a huge Celtics fan. So definitely, KG's up there.
That's a great point too, Kelly, and I appreciate the phone call. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. Kevin Garnett made the Celtics appointment viewing. You wanted to watch Kevin Garnett. Like, Kevin Garnett banging his head, like, underneath the hoop before the game. I used to love when Kevin Garnett would do that. He'd get so fired up, he'd get the ball off his head. It was just awesome to watch that guy play. I don't understand for the life of me why people are upset about this. If you want to weigh on Kevin Garnett's jersey retirement, certainly welcome to do so. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. is reporting that Tom Brady is going to be offered 2 years and $60 million from the Las Vegas, the number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.